Thank you so much for joining us for the Digital Dementia Summit. I'm your host, Dr. Krista, and I'm so excited to introduce our next guest, Dr. Jay Davidson, who focuses on functional natural medicine. He's a husband and a father. He's also a popular speaker and a two-time number one international best-selling author. Dr. Jay was the host of the Chronic Lyme Disease Summit and the Parasite Summit. Now he's also hosting the upcoming Viral and Retroviral Summit, so be sure to tune into that. Dr. Jay Davidson is admired for his ability to bridge the gap between the scientific health community and the layperson. His at-home program in his private community walks you through the exact protocols that changed his wife's life from a near-death experience with Lyme disease. He's also the co-founder of Bicrobe Formulas. Dr. Jay, thanks so much for taking the time out to join us on the Digital Dementia Summit. We're so excited to have you here. Please say hello to everybody.
Yes. Well, it is great being here. And I just want to give you kudos too, knowing you personally, you are a researcher and so dedicated, and it's people don't always understand that unless you know the person personally. So I just want to give you kudos for your passion and determination too.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. And you know, what's so amazing about this Digital Dementia Summit is we get to connect with incredible guest experts just like yourself. Now, Dr. Jay is changing the face of healthcare every single day by helping transform the life of patients. So I had to get him on the Digital Dementia Summit. Now, with that being said, Dr. Jay, why do you think it's important that we discuss digital dementia? And for everybody who's tuning in, what digital dementia really is dementia-like symptoms in adolescence from the overstimulation of technology combined with poor lifestyle choices. So it's not technology alone, but it's our lifestyle when we're sitting there staring at a screen for hours and hours and hours. We're seeing actual changes in brain health. Dr. Jay, why do you think it's important that we address this viral epidemic that could otherwise destroy children's brains?
Yeah, we're living in a different age. When you really look at what's happening, how fast we're advancing with technology and more screens, we got 4K, we've got 4.6K, now we're coming out with 8K. It's like, I know people that when they see an 8K TV at Best Buy in one of those Magnolia, you know, their things, they get like an instant headache as soon as they're exposed to that much light. And I guarantee that it's the intensity of the blue light and some of the electronics that our body's not used to. As much and as magnificent as the image and everything can be, it's something that our bodies haven't been, haven't been able to adapt or even really get used to, because things are advancing so much. Artificial intelligence, I mean, the medicine world, the health alternative world, I mean, things are changing so quickly. But being a parent, I have a daughter, which obviously you know, Leela.
She's adorable.
She's a smart little cookie. And it's kind of this fine line of being a parent of like, hey, I don't want you on your iPad, or I don't want you, you know, watching shows all day, or really, I don't really want you doing it at all. But I also see in the future, probably half the jobs are going to be involving some kind of computer coding something. Like, so I want her to be exposed to the technology, just like this summit gives us, where we can not be in the same room, but we can be having a conversation, be learning and growing, you know, this kind of what this technology benefits. So I think it's a fine line of, okay, we're going to utilize this technology for our lifestyle and for our benefit, but we're not going to overutilize it where it's actually going to change our brains.
I love that. You nailed it right there, because what we're not saying with the Digital Dementia Summit is that you have to get rid of all technology. In fact, I'd be a hypocrite, because right now we're connected via digital technology. But what we are saying is that you need to start having a healthier relationship with technology, modeling that for your children, and teaching them how they can grow up in the digital age and still thrive, recognizing that it's a new system that we live in. And as you mentioned, it's not that we want to deprive children from technology, especially if it will help them advance forward academically and in their professional careers in the future, but we just want them to be healthy now so that they can grow up with the proper healthy tech habits along the way. So with that being said, let's talk about what this is actually doing to children's brains. What does screen time do to our brain? What studies have you seen that show that the overstimulation of technology really does have an impact?
Well, besides the research, if you just think about it, yeah. Because there's so much stuff available, you would think, yeah, that's probably going to alter things, right? But the more I dug into it, so my wife and I, Heather and I, we set the rule a long time ago, because I'm like, let's get, you know, we can get our daughter a little, we got like a used Kindle when she was like 2 years old, and we'd give it to her for like a half hour to, you know, like learn to drag around stuff. And then as she broke that used one, then, or the battery died, then we got another used one, then eventually we got like an iPad. But we've always kind of limited 2 hours or less of electronics total for the day. So that's TV, that's iPad. We have an old school Wii, like the Mario Kart, you know. And once she pretty much got the iPad, it's like no shows, no Mario Kart hardly at all. It's pretty much like I want to watch, you know, I want to be on my iPad. Yeah. And so the rule was basically 2 hours or less. And we've been pretty firm. Now, sometimes when we're traveling across the country and it's like 6 hours of flight with a little one and then we'll bring our dog with, it's like, you know what? This is one of those days that you can just watch, you know, on Southwest, you can watch TV on the iPad for pretty much as long as you want while we're on the plane. And it, you know, so we kind of, there's those times where we back off. But when I dive into the actual topic of it, you know, the NIH has a study ongoing right now, but they actually released a first round, and that, and you probably know this, maybe other speakers have mentioned it, but I really find it how fascinating, you know, they're looking at 4,500 different 10-year-old kids. And in their first basically probing of it, they found that those kids that had 7 hours or more of screen time in a day. And when I'm thinking of screen time, I'm thinking computer, tablet, yep, phone, TV, which could include, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime, watching TV, video games, right? I mean, it's screen. That's my interpretation of it. But when they did 7 hours or more, it caused premature thinning of the brain cortex in a 10-year-old. And I'm like, this totally makes sense. It's quite mind-blowing to see, yeah, it. And the author's like, well, just this is just the first round, so we don't want to jump to conclusions. It's like, no, I mean, is this really that far of a stretch? So when I see things like that, I really believe in 5 or 10 years, we're going to know so much more. But this is why I'm so excited to be on the Digital Dementia Summit, because it's getting the word out now, so we don't wait until, oh yeah, you know what? That whole smoking thing where doctors actually promoted that actually wasn't good for you. You know, and we find out 30 years later, it's like, really? Can we find this stuff out a little sooner?
Yeah, no, and that's so interesting. And I love what you're saying, that let's not just sit back and wait. Let's say we're seeing these early signs and let's take preventative measures. And what's so interesting about that study is we're seeing a direct correlation that seated in front of a screen for 7 hours or more is directly related with decline in brain function and with actual thinning of the matter of the brain. But you know what's associated with increased gray matter of the brain is exercise. So if we can start finding that healthy balance, for example, like you do with Leela, with your daughter, of 2 hours per day. We don't need to get rid of it completely. We can stay connected 2 hours a day, but then starting to integrate more healthy habits such as exercise instead of just being sedentary in front of a screen. And, you know, I'd love to get your opinion on this, Dr. J. I feel like we've made it so normal in our society, the binge culture. Like, we talk about it. Hey, did you binge on that new Netflix, you know, show? And if we look at that word binge, it's like we're promoting the overuse of something, whether it's the overeating of poor foods, whether it's the overuse of technology, and we've actually made that word binge normal. What do you think that's doing to our health, the fact that we, as a society, think it's normal to binge on things these days?
Well, so many truths and so many facts are staring us right in the face with words. I mean, look at this, TV programming. They're telling you, hey, we're programming you if you watch TV. So it's establishing, really kind of stepping back and looking at the language that they use and start to analyze, like, is this actually a good thing or not? The first step is just raising your level of consciousness and becoming aware. As soon as you do, then you start asking more questions and say, you know what? They say this, but I just get this like feeling in my gut or like in my heart. I'm not sure about that one quite yet. And it's not necessarily jump to conclusions like this is horrible or this is amazing. Kind of live in this place of like, right now, this is what I believe. And I'm not just going to look for the things that only validate that belief so that I continue to believe that, but to look at both sides or multiple angles to then keep reestablishing what you believe and move forward. I mean, with teenagers right now, 4.5 hours on average for screen time or whatever the average is.
Yeah.
Like, what's that going to be in 5 years? I mean, that's going to be so much more. I mean, kids have phones so much younger. So this idea of binging, I think if it's binging for education, right? Like, oh my gosh, there's a Digital Dementia Summit this week. Like, I'm going to binge watch them. Like, great. Cause I'm sure you can get so many gold nuggets, but binge watching something that's just pure entertainment for like Amazon Prime or Netflix type thing, that I'm not a fan of it. But it's there, right? So it's always who you're at or your personality, what you're you know, values are, but we teach our daughter, you know, Leela, unhealthy people sit down and they watch TV. Healthy people instead of exercise. So I love how you said, you know, it's literally doing the opposite. And those are the things that we're trying to, you know, and you could say, hey, Dr. J's programming his daughter. You dang right I am. But I want to program her with what I believe and what I believe is going to give her. But I'm also teaching her this thing of question, right? Ask questions, you know, really dig in and really process and think. She's so young though that obviously we're very much, you know, kind of controlling and inputting what she gets. But being a parent in this day and age, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And you guys are great models for your daughter. And that's one of the things that we want to promote with the Digital Dementia Summit is modeling the appropriate behaviors and setting those healthy boundaries. Now, one of the things that I like that you mentioned is you're teaching your daughter to ask questions. And one of the biggest parts about healthcare and raising healthy families is being a detective. So you mentioned reading both sides of the story, right? Like what seems right, understanding it from both sides, being a health detective so that you can really raise thriving children in the digital age. All right, so let's talk about from a protocol perspective, what is important with the electronic day and age. So how can we literally map out a protocol to help raise healthier children?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? In the functional medicine space is like, okay, you hear something, you get so excited, and then it's like, how do I implement this? Where does this all fit in? And there's so many things that I believe we could talk about. You know, like I got my blue blockers right here. I generally don't put them on when I'm doing videos because I don't want people that, like, if it's a first date that they like just hear me or something, they have no idea about the power of blue blocking. Like, hey, I'm not going to freak you out. But basically, if I'm not recording a video, I'm in front of my computer. I've got my daytime blue blockers. And we try to live the lifestyle here. Nobody's perfect, but I bought some, and those are True Dark. And then I've got the red ones. Those are definitely like the most intense ever. And then I bought a pair cause they sell ones for kids for my daughter. So I'm like at night when it gets dark out and she starts getting wound up, like hyper and wants to do stuff. I'm like, put your glasses on and let's calm down. So we do what we can, and it's always a learning process. And right now what I've learned after my wife almost died from Lyme disease and working with just hundreds of clients and training doctors and, you know, really having kind of a grip in some of the science realm of what's developing in the herbal and supplement type world, I've come to the fact that it's not just finding a good protocol, but it's implementing in the right order. So if you look at digital dementia, I'm thinking brain. Right? Brain development, ADD, ADHD, autism, Asperger's, like all these different things that kids can get diagnosed with, let alone a lot of people have anxiety, right? All these different type of brain conditions. So I'm looking at, okay, for a protocol, whether it's for a kid or an adult, we want to target the brain. We want to target either good brain health growth, or we just want to target good repair, depending on, you know, like where you're at.
Yeah.
And so the first step is understanding what are the major factors with your health. And I found that there's primarily four big ones. And I would say I would put those four like on a foundation. So the foundation is food, the nutrients you put in your body, and then also your mindset. Not only what you think, but also what happened in your past with emotional traumas. Some people have been molested and beaten and have, you know, been abandoned and all these different things. And so we have all different baggage and we carry it forward differently and we process it differently. But that plays a big role with our health just in general, you know, trying to undo those cycles and realize this is a big thing in the mind emotional side, Krista. Either we look at everything in life as happening to us, or we look at life that it's happening for us. Right. And the moment that we understand that this is actually for me, everything shifts. So that's probably the quickest thing given the emotional side. But I've actually got, maybe I can share this image here. I feel like it will help so much.
And as you're doing that, I just want to highlight what you just said about that really important mindset shift right there, which is things are either happening to us or for us. And I feel that that's really just such a powerful statement for everything within in life. But when it comes to health specifically, we're learning lessons as we go. These things are put in front of us so that we can learn more, we can ask more questions, we can try new protocols that are in the right order that help support great health. Okay, go ahead and show us more about the graphic here.
Yeah, well, it comes down to, you know, as soon as you learn something, are you taking it on like, oh, great, now another thing I got to figure out what to do, or more of an excitement of, oh, these pieces just keep coming together and I keep, you know, So it's how we position things. But this is probably the easiest way to, this is why I want to show this graphic here, is the first step is detect. So understanding what are the major underlying issues that are going on with somebody's body. Mold is one of them. Chronic infection, which would include Lyme disease, is a big one. So bacteria, viruses. Parasites is number three. And then I would put the fourth thing is toxicity, heavy metals being a big one, glyphosate, pesticides being in that category too. So I'd put those as kind of the big four with the foundation. You can see kind of what I try to draw bricks down there, mind and food, but there's an order to it. And if you've hit a wall, if you're like, Dr. J, I feel like I know so much, but I just can't get better. Like, what am I doing? You could either be missing a piece to the puzzle, meaning you haven't identified this fact that there's mold in your building where you live, and that's what's actually keeping you sick, keeping your immune system suppressed, keeping you in this brain fog, and then everything else gets amplified because of it. Yeah. Or you might have just done it out of order. So when we look at the order is the most important thing. First thing is detect, understand what's going on. If you're not fully sure, assume everything is and move forward that way so you don't miss anything. The second step there is drainage. Drainage, and this is, if you were to say like, Dr. J, hey, what's like most important thing for the brain? I'm gonna say drainage has gotta be number one. Yes. When you understand drainage, maybe I'll stop sharing for a second here. When you understand drainage, it's almost like a funnel. And let me back up and define drainage. So detoxification and drainage, I love to use separate definitions and separate terminology. Detox is we're grabbing onto chemicals, we're pulling them out, and we're emptying the bucket of toxins that are in our body. Now, drainage is all about the pathways that normally move fluids in the body. So it'd be the colon. If you're not pooping, that's a drainage pathway clogged up. How much should you poop? In the health protocol, 2 to 3 times a day, but not watery stools. Now, you could say, well, Dr. J, are you really supposed to be going that much? 1 to 2 a day, I think, is fine for the typical person that's in a healthy state. But when you are moving forward and trying to improve your health, you just don't want that pathway to block up. The kidneys, the liver bile duct, the skin not sweating. Heather, my wife, didn't sweat for years, and we thought, oh, what a blessing. You don't even need deodorant. You don't even smell.
Right.
No, that's a pathway clogged up. Yeah. Lymphatic system, the glymphatic system, which I'm sure you've had people speak or people talking about this, and it's essentially the brain drainage to the lymphatic system, the brain connecting. So, but think of it in a funnel. So this is where it all comes together. The base of the funnel, if anything clogs that funnel up, everything above is getting backed up. Think of drainage as a funnel. The base of that funnel is the colon. So if you are backed up, constipated, it doesn't matter how much you work on your liver bile duct. Doesn't matter how much you're trying to drain your kidneys or you're trying to get over your gout. Doesn't matter how much you're trying to open up your lymphatic system and get rid of cellulite and, you know, puffiness and swelling and all that. It doesn't matter how much you're trying to remove your brain fog or lack of focus or headaches or all these different symptoms that can come along with the brain if the colon's backed up. So that's first. The next step is the liver bile duct, and we can throw kidneys in there as well. That's got to be one of my favorite areas to talk about. But the next one up from that is the lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. And then the final step is really organs and tissues, which is where we could throw the brain, right? Digital dementia means brain health. So if the goal is let's drain the brain, let's make sure the fluids are draining, and we know the brain, it's like a tongue twister, the brain drains the most when you sleep. You know, your glial cells shrink when you sleep. We want to optimize sleep. Most people with chronic illness don't sleep well, or you're on electronics, you're staying up too late, circadian rhythm gets messed up, your sleep isn't good as quality, and boom, it's like everything's amplified. But so if you're focusing on the brain, don't forget about the colon, don't forget about the liver bile duct, don't forget about the lymphatic system, because the brain basically relies on that from a drainage standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Would you mind sharing your graphic with us one more time? I just want to review that because I think it's so powerful how you laid it out there for us. So we have the foundation at the bottom, which is mindset and food. So if we're not fueling our mind and fueling our bodies with the proper foods, that's our foundation of where to get started. And then we talk about detecting and then drainage. And I love how you put it together, how the body is a whole, right? We're talking about the whole person. So although we're focusing more so on the brain within the summit, it's understanding that the brain relates directly, the brain function relates directly to the function of the rest of the body. And so if we're having drainage issues, then this is impacting our ability to think, and it's creating brain fog, and it's preventing us from sleeping well at night. And that's, you know, preventing more proper drainage from the lymphatic system. And then parasites, body mold, heavy metals, virus, and bacteria. So how can we start to understand? I know we start with detect. What can parents look for that would be an indication of parasites, for example, or heavy metal toxicities?
Yeah. So parasites, big ones, big symptoms are, and I'll stop sharing just for a second here. I'll bring that back up. Parasite symptoms, big bags under the eyes, food allergies, which I mean are rampant right now. I mean, yes. Food sensitivities and food allergies, huge, grinding of teeth, bedwetting. I mean, those are classic parasite type symptoms, itchy butt, distension after you eat, grumbling stomach, kids that have this is adults as well too. Constipation that then goes to diarrhea, hard to kind of regulate. Constipation can actually be a sign of parasites. Diarrhea can be a sign of parasites as well too. So anything digestive related can really be related to parasites. Skin issues, I mean, classic for that. So there's a ton of symptoms in the parasite side, but I would say dairy allergy is probably the biggest red flag you could ever have, because parasites love to eat protein and they specifically love milk protein. So let's say your kid drinks some milk. Let's just say cow's milk, for instance, drink some cow's milk. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I think his tummy hurts now. I think he must be allergic to it. He must be sensitive to that. Right? Like even I ran a $1,000+ LCAT, you know, food sensitivity test, and it showed up. But the question is why did that show up? It showed up because there's a parasite infection. So parasites love protein, specifically milk protein. So when you drink that milk down, the parasites start gobbling up that protein and they start using that as fuel and they love it. Mm-hmm. And then they produce a toxin that then the body actually reacts with. So the body's equating, oh, you just drank milk and now I've got this toxin in me. I must be sensitive, and boom, the body correlates that, right? The brain, amazing organ in our body. So then what happens is when you consume protein, parasites are taking a lot of that protein. So we don't get the breakdown of protein into amino acids. Amino acids then are the building blocks for the body. But think about the brain. They are the building blocks for the neurotransmitters, epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, the happy hormones, right? All these things. So when you're looking at, oh my gosh, Dr. J, I don't feel happy. Like I feel depressed or I feel like angry. Well, your neurotransmitters can be all messed up just because of parasites in the body. So connecting that, super important. But I want to bring the graphic up just for a second and explain why it is there. So where I made a mistake, I detoxed heavy metals for 2 years, chelation every 4 hours, waking up in the middle of the night. It was stressful. It stunk. My body got stressed out, but I did it and it works. The thing I never realized with this in the old school heavy metal method, which we don't have to do that now anymore with new products we have out, but what I didn't realize was that parasites are sponges for heavy metals. So if you think, hey, I'm going to detox, I'm going to clean everything out, and you don't deal with parasites ahead of time, those metals are going to stay inside of parasites, which are then going to stay inside your body, and you're just not going to be able to clear all those toxins. And parasites are sponges. 6, sometimes 8 times their body weight in heavy metals that they'll absorb.
Wow.
So that's why parasites go before heavy metals. When you're looking at body mold, and I separate environmental mold versus the mold inside your body. Of course, if you're living in mold, you're more likely to have mold inside your body. But body mold or mold spores will live inside of parasites. So if you figure out, oh my gosh, I'm in an environment where there's water infiltration and there's mold and I'm getting sick, I have brain fog, and you move or you remedy it, you clear it out and you know you're safe, but yet I still feel like I have all these, chronic inflammatory response symptoms. You could still have mold in your body because they're replicating, the spores are replicating in the parasite, still making you sick. And until you clear the parasite, you're still going to have mold. And then the last thing is very similar with viruses and bacteria there. Lyme disease has been shown to live safely within nematodes. Dr. Alan McDonald basically showed bacteria can live in nematodes, which means, doc, I'm trying to battle Lyme disease. I'm hitting with antibiotics. That didn't work. Now I'm going after natural. That didn't work. Or as soon as I stop, I crash. It's because they're being protected. So parasites are first up. Once you knock the parasites down, then that'll actually rebalance the immune system. So parasites throw, and Dr. Todd Watts, my really good friend and partner in microbe formulas, I mean, he's a genius. He talks about this all the time, that when you have a parasite infection, it throws off the TH1, TH2 imbalance and allows for viral replication inside your body. Well, not only do you get viral replication with parasites, but viruses like Epstein-Barr and these other things can also potentially even live inside of parasites, just like bacteria as well too. So take parasites down first, then the other things can start falling.
Oh, I love this. Thank you so much for spelling it out for us so clearly in this timeline and really mapping it out of which order we need to go into. And one of the things I really want all of our parents that are listening to just walk away with is that once these symptoms start, it starts a cycle. And if we never break the cycle, what ends up happening is that, for example, you use the example of milk, and if you have a parasite. So if you're drinking milk, then your child feels sick after drinking milk. So what happens when the child feels sick? Naturally, we sit them on the couch, we put them in front of the TV, and we say rest. And then so they're sitting there sedentary in front of the TV for hours and hours, and they continue to have these cycles of poor health, which then leads to being sedentary, staring at a screen, still having the parasite, not detoxifying it out because it's holding on to those heavy metals and creating more viruses to expand and replicate within your body. And so the chronic disease continues and perpetuates as a cycle. And then it's not only affecting our physical health, but it's also affecting our mental health, our ability to sleep, and our brain function. And so viewing your child as a whole person and understanding that if they have this symptom, their body is expressing a symptom for a reason, and that's a warning sign. And you can start from that detect. That was number one, right? We understand the foundation down here, and then detect is number one. So being a detective and helping regulate and understand these symptoms, and then finding experts like Dr. J at drjdavidson.com to see how you can make sure that you're following the proper protocol to live healthier and raise healthy children in the digital age. Thank you again so much for sharing that with us, Dr. J. It was really practical, and it's something that I know so many moms are watching going, okay, great, that makes so much sense, and I know exactly what to do now. So thank you so much for sharing that protocol with us.
Yeah, well, you really hit it on the head, right? I mean, oh my gosh, the kid's got a tummy ache and must be from milk. Let me take him to the doctor. Oh, the doctor thinks, oh yeah, maybe it's a food allergy. So then you get sent to a food allergist. And this was my childhood. I got sent to La Crosse allergy clinic. You know, it was a 2-hour drive from where I grew up in Minnesota, and they'd line my arm up and down with all these shots to see like, hey, what's he's reacting to? Oh my gosh, he's reacting this. Right. Let's make up this kind of like concoction homeopathic thing to calm it down, which was like, it allowed me to get by as a kid, and my parents were like, it changed everything. But the next thought didn't go through of, well, what's the source of that allergy? You know, we're still band-aiding, and we got to get to the source. We're looking at the digital dementia topic. We also have to consider about the EMFs, not only the blue screen that's coming into us, but what about the fact we give our kid the phone and it's got a cellular signal, it's got Wi-Fi running, it's got Bluetooth, even if it's not connected to anything, it's pinging, it's looking for it. And we know our body is basically a natural antenna for EMFs, and EMFs will make good bugs go bad. So somebody that has chronic illness, it can make things even worse. Somebody that's fine and healthy can actually make them sick. So it'll turn good bugs bad. Somebody that's in a moldy environment, the mold will actually crank out like 600 times more mycotoxin, which essentially mold has this amazing ability to basically fight off all these other pathogens.
Wow.
So if it's an environment with bacteria and viruses and parasites, mold will crank out a toxin called a mycotoxin to basically suppress everything so it can thrive. Well, the problem is of course, we get exposed to that toxin. And there was some new research out showing that in our sweat ducts of our skin, right? On our body, in the sweat ducts, it's a helical formation that the sweat duct is, which is basically an antenna for what they call millimeter waves and things. And of course, next time you go to an airport and you see, hey, go in the TSA millimeter wave detector, it's not x-ray, but it's like a microwave. I mean, what is that doing to us over the long run? And the cell phone signals, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, we're moving into 5G, which has never been tested. I mean, we're in this day and age where it's like, we don't have time to wait. We have to make changes. So am I utilizing technology right now? Absolutely. I have studio lights on me so you can see my face. But when I'm not doing videos, I don't have the lights on. I usually use sunlight to light up my office. I've got these things on. My computer is hardwired, so there's no Wi-Fi. everything is hardwired for my laptop, so there's no Bluetooth. So I'm trying to reduce as much as possible. And I hope that you do the same, because it magnifies and it'll make a huge difference for your family.
Yeah. I mean, the environment in which we live, the external environment, has a direct impact on our internal environment and our ability to maintain homeostatic levels. Dr. J, I'm so appreciative of everything you've shared with us today. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you a big picture question. Like, knowing what we know now, everything we just talked about, if we did nothing as a society, what do you think will happen? Like, what do you think will happen with the next generation growing up in this environment if we took no action steps? What kind of health symptoms do you think they would present with, and how would that affect us societally?
Oh, sheep to a slaughter. And it's already happening. You think like the next, it's already happening. Stephanie Senoff says 1 in 2 kids are going to be autistic by 2032 if we don't do something different. I mean, we're in 2019 at the time of doing this recording. That's what, 13 years out, and 1 in 2 kids, it is already happening. Meaning that we don't have the luxury to be like, well, I'll just give it a little bit of time. I'm kind of busy. You know, we need to clean up our environment. We need to optimize our health, because there's going to be continual EMFs that get exposed. I mean, electromagnetic radiation, it's not going away. So that means that we either have to live in harmony with it, or our bodies have to be able to withstand it. In order for that to happen, we have to be at an optimized health standpoint. Yeah. So if we are just like kind of getting by, and then more of the stress gets poured on, toxins, digital toxins, right? All this EMF exposure, the blue light, the electronics that are like changing our brain waves, and I can't concentrate because I'm so used to just scrolling on Facebook, you know, every day, all day long. It's like, come on, this is the time where we have to start changing. And if you're a parent with kids, you have immense responsibility. But the fact that you're listening to someone like this, you are in the top 1% of the world. So give yourself some appreciation, love, and gratitude, but also keep moving forward.
Absolutely. You heard it here. Keep moving forward. So we got to optimize our own body health so that we can withstand this environment and create those healthy boundaries to live and raise healthy children in the digital age. Dr. J. Davidson, thank you again so much for joining us on the Digital Dementia Summit. We appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you so much.